Gemara on Perek Daled Halacha Gimel, page 34, Yitzayinu Beis. A little bit harder Gemara tonight than we had the past few nights. Emavaki Meitzim Min HaKoros V'lo Min HaKorosh Nishbra B'Yontif. One is not allowed to split off wood from a board or beam, which is designated for building, if it's whole or if it's broken, if it broke on Yontif. However, broke before Yontif, you're allowed to break, then already it's considered firewood, and one is allowed to break off sticks to use for firewood. But it, when even when that is permitted, one cannot use the type of implements which one normally uses to cut wood, chop wood. A kurdum is an axe, loma magul is a saw, a scythe, velobim gira, not a saw, elibakupitz. So kupitz is like a butcher's cleaver, right, which you're allowed to use in order to cut because it's a shinui. So even when you're allowed to cut from a beam because it was broken before yontif, so already became firewood, you have to specifically use a shinui. Now here's an interesting halacha, baishu mole peros. If a house which is full of fruit, the sasum, and it's closed up, the nifchas, and the hole, and a hole opens in the side, it was completely closed up, sealed, and the hole opens on the side, then notam milkam pchas, you can take fruit out from the place where the hole opened up. Remeir says you can actually poches lechatchila, you can break the house lechatchila and take stuff out of it. It's a fascinating thing because the Chora makes it's the issur d'orais of soser, breaking down a house on Shabbos, right? So on Yontif. So the Mefarshim say, or the Bavli says here, the Yerushalmi is not explicit, it's talking about a house which is put together without any mortar. So it's just bricks, one on top of the other. So that's where you can take it apart in order to get at the food, because it's really an issur d'rabbanan, not an issur d'oraisa. And makom food, you know, ochel nefesh, you know, not just ochel nefesh, but Yisham Mutzar and Shabbos also. But in terms of food, they weren't grazer. You can take apart the bricks and to go ahead and stick your hand in and take out the food.
Also, you're not taking it apart to rebuild it. You're just taking it apart to get the food. Isn't the
true, but we wouldn't be so some nas livnos, but that's true. It wouldn't be, I guess, the raisa anyway, but we still wouldn't be matured if it was, you know, the melach, the raisa, even for now, even if it's a melach shein tzrich l'gufa, not done for the right purpose. Right? Because here it's beneficial to be so, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's melach shein tzrich l'gufa. You're not doing am nas livnos, but you do it for a beneficial purpose. So therefore, I don't think we'd be matured. That's what Bavli says. We wouldn't be matured if not for the fact that there was no cement holding the bricks together. Okay, emavakin etzim min hakoros. One cannot say this is a quote from the Mishnah. One cannot split wood from a whole beam. V'lo min hakoros shishbra, or and even if the beam was broken, but hadar dat amar hakoros shishbra biyontif. But that's only if the beam was broken on yontif. Hakoros shishbra be'erev yontif. If the beam was broken from before yontif, that's fine. Mutter. Now, that's b'shem b'em to our kli. That's only if when it's broken, it no longer looks like a beam that is suitable to build into your building. I'm yeshel to our kli, but if it still looks like a viable beam, so then, afil nishbra me'erev yontif, even if it's broken before yontif, it's osur. Why? Because it still retains its din as being its characteristic of being a building construction material. Tani, we learned, sukos te'enim, which are not a sukkah, but rather here means a branch. A branch of a fig tree, uvoim te'emen, which has figs on it, of course, it's severed from the tree itself. Umechabdos, or a cluster from a palm tree, uvoim te'emen, which there are dates attached. Sheikhnisan lochin, where you gather these branches before yontif in order to eat from them. Uchmem yontif, you're allowed to eat from them. Hechnisan leitim, what, however, if you gather them before yontif for the purpose of wood? Interesting thing, they have fruit on them, but you gather them to use for firewood. So, ain't ochemem biyontif. You're not allowed to eat its fruit on yontif. It's an amazing concept.
We had that before.
We did?
Yes. Where if something is Sasir Shabbos.
Yeah, you're right. No, but that's the next one, isn't it?
No, we
had this also?
Yeah.
Okay, I trust you. Your memory is far better than mine. But, it's an amazing concept. It gives me pause because it means that even though generally speaking, food is the primary human need for which everything is designated. But here, since you designated the wood for firewood, you can't eat the food, the fruit, which is on the... and you recall this from somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, I trust you.
I made a note of it. I remember this... I think we learned it. You sort of like remarked how remarkable it was.
Okay, that's right. Yes. Okay, that's good. Period. Rav Amar, new issue. Mesikim b'kelim, v'em mesikim b'shivrei. It's interesting. Halacha, you're allowed to use kelim in your fire on Shabbos, but not shivrei kelim, not broken kelim. Now says the wait. Adad atam rav kelim b'shishbu b'yontif. That's only if the kelim broke on yontif. Okay, meaning this is talking about. Obviously, the kelim which you're burning are kelim which you designated before Yontif to be firewood, right? So you can use them. But what if before Yontif they were designated to be a chves, you know, building material or pots, pans, whatever they were, and then on Yontif they broke, and then you want to use them as fire fuel? That you're not allowed to do, okay? That's forbidden. Avol the kelim shenishbu me'erev yontif, kelim broken erev yontif, then of course they were designated to be for fire fuel, and that's certainly mutter. That's also k'shein aleim tor kli. That's only that's when they don't have the appearance of a vessel. Because then, if they broke on yontif to the point where they no longer look like a vessel, so then they're mukta. Avayesh aleim tor kli, but if they broke on Yotif, but still retain the Torah keli, I feel nishbro b'yotif, even if they broke on Yotif, it's mutter. So obviously in this situation we're talking about a keli, which before Yotif could have been firewood. It's hard to it has to be that it beforehand, before Yotif, it could have been firewood, right? It was a keli, but it couldn't be used as firewood. Then on Yotif, it broke. So then, if on Yotiv it broke, and it lost its Torah keli altogether, so for reasons I don't fully understand, it can't be used as firewood. If it didn't lose its Torah keli, then it can be used as firewood. Okay? Again, if it lost its image as a vessel, you can't use it as firewood. If it still retains some image as a vessel, you can use it as firewood. So either Rav is arguing on our Mishnah, which is unlikely. Our Mishnah said, of course, that you can't use as firewood, right? Or Rav is talking about a lower down type of keli, a keli which could be used as firewood. And what bears that out is the Pnei Moshe in the Mishnah. The Pnei Moshe says that this korah is a beam which is mukta machmas chesron kis. In other words, it's very special and valuable, right? So therefore, you're not going to use it for firewood unless there's some clear-cut breakage in it before Yontif, which designates it firewood. Oh, it's not firewood, it remains mukta. Rav is talking about, must be, again, this is just my hypothesis, but I think it's correct. Rav is talking about something which is not as choshev, so it's not mukta masmach maschesron kis, so therefore, even though it's a keli, you can use it as firewood. However, the irony about that one is that now if it breaks on Yontif, it loses its din of a keli, it doesn't become definite firewood. No, it becomes usur to use. You can't use it because it was designated as a keli / firewood, and if it breaks on Yontif, it loses that designation, becomes mukta. It's only if it retains a Torah keli after it breaks that then it retains its designation as firewood / keli / firewood, and you can use it. Okay?
That makes sense, because it was a designated... it was a keli before
Yontif,
and even though it's broken, it's a keli during Yontif.
Right. But again, you have to say these are not mukta machmas chesron kis, that they're a lower type of keli than the ones we're talking about in the Mishnah. So in Rav Amar, Mesikim b'kelim, v'em mesikim b'shivrei. Shivakim Hodadaram Rakim Shishbu Yantav, this is talking about Kim which are broken Yantav. Akim Shishbu Rav Yantav Mutter. That's okay. If they're broken for Yantav, obviously they're ready firewood from before Yantav. That which they're broken on Yantav and you can't use them is B'shem Ben Torah Kli where they lost their Torah Kli. Avishim Torah Kli, but if they retain the images of Esau, I feel Nishbu Yantav, even they're broken Yantav, the Mutter. Tana Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya taught, learned, Mesikim Ba'ochlin, this is in fact Halacha L'Maaseh, you're allowed to use food as fuel. Avalobically paying, but not shells, blobly name, nor pits. Now, that means after you eat the food, you can't use whatever's left over as fuel. Again, because since it was designated as food before Yontif, it's mukta for any other purpose. If it's still food, if you have a whole date, you can toss it into your oven as fuel. But if you ate it, and now all you left is the pit or the peel, then you can't toss it into your oven as fuel. It's an amazing concept, right? Well, it has to be designated for fuel, because otherwise it's considered to be food.
Well, it's consistent with the keli that is broken.
Right, it's very consistent with Rav's previous statement about Torah keli, right. So it says more. Rav have a Yosef Kumi Rabbi Chia Rabba. Rav is sitting in front of Rabbi Chia the Great. Vav Ochel, he was eating dates. Vav Mischami. Now there's a tremendous machlokes among the Farshim. This happened on Yontif or didn't happen on Yontif. The Korbanator says it happened the rest of the year. Almost all the other Mefarshim say it happened on Yontif. So at first I thought learning the Korbanator, but now I think I'm going to learn like the other Mefarshim that it happened on Yontif. So Vava Mischami, Reb Chia saw Zora Kotafye, that Rav was throwing the pits inside the oven, right? The Zora Kumetafye, and so he threw in front of the oven. Now, the ones he can't throw in the oven, Reb Chia, right? Because throwing in the oven pits is also right, because they're not fuel. I mean, they're fuel, but they weren't designated for Yontif. On Reb Chia Rabba, Reb Chia Rabba said to him, Hachazrok, throw it here, not in the oven. What's the difference? Amalei, so he said, Ben Picha, son of great ones. Achareim. Now, Achareim is an interesting term. The Shinun is close on the bottom, and the Leiden manuscript have Achareim, Achareim. The Shari Torah says he stole on his own, thought of the words that there should say Achareim, Achareim, because that's a term which is used elsewhere in Shas. The Shari Torah says he stole, knew this, is used elsewhere in Yushami to mean, we must follow the words of the rabbis. We must follow them. Achareim, Achareim. We must follow the words of the rabbis. So the rabbi said, Rav Chi himself brought this down, that you're not allowed to throw pits directly into the fire. So therefore, we have to listen to them and not put pits directly in the fire. The Korbanator gives a different shot. Korbanator says that he would tell, again, he's going to the Shittos, so it's on a weekday. So he told him, don't throw here, throw there. Rav said, why? So he said, because it's not their Acheretz. He was teaching their Acheretz. Rav was his nephew, right? So he was saying to Rav, it's not their Acheretz to throw pits in front of people. So throw them somewhere where people don't see. Achreim means behind people, not in front of them. So it's a Derech Eretz thing. But again, as I say, the concept of Achreim, Achreim indicates more like the other Meforshim. And it's saying that we have to follow the Rabbanu said not to throw it into a fire in Yotzef. Amar Achina said, Uchla Avazorak, Yatmim Lamitz Chusan Rav, he was tossing out dates which are only partially eaten. Rav Achina didn't notice it. But Rav was saying, since only Parshin is still had food adhering to them, they can be thrown into the fire. Because again, food is not mukta. The type of mukta which the pits are, I forgot to mention the word before, it's an important word, is noilad. Because it wasn't a pit before Yontif, now it became a pit. It wasn't a shell before Yontif, now it became a shell. You can't use it as fuel because it's noilad. But as a fruit, you can throw it into the fire. So Rav was thrown into the fire because he thought it was food. I'm Rabbi Ami. Now here, this next phrase has about a gazillion interpretations. One interpretation: I'm Rabbi Ami. Bavlaya chayla hava. The Babylonian, meaning Rav, who was a Babylonian, was sick, so that's why he wasn't consuming the whole date, and there was still something on it. Another interpretation is: I'm Rabbi Ami Bavlaya. Rabbi Ami from Bavel said chula hava. This incident happened on a weekday, right? It's be with an aleph. The Gra changed the girsa to an aleph. It was a weekday on which the maaseh happened. So there are a whole bunch of interpretations on that. And if it happened on a weekday, so then rest, if you talk interpret it like that, so the rest of Amar Rabbi Yan, Amar Rav, or I don't know the next. So I guess it's a word missing. It should be Amar Rabbi somebody. It doesn't say who said it. I don't think it should be it's Rav. Somebody said concerning this episode, Kenegda can be also beyond the, even if that took place on a weekday, Lamais, it's also to throw it into a fire in Yontif, because that's where Bechia the Great said that you can't throw the pits directly into the fire on Yontif. Okay? Sezgar lo bekordim. Not, you can't use a kordim. The base are beyond, I mean, mevakim bekordim. When it's allowed to use an axe to split, to chop firewood on Yontif, and he argues in our Mishnah, which says you're not allowed to. Tana Rabbi Yishim says, also mevakim bekordim. Shmuel Amar, halachah mishomer mevakim bekordim, halachah you're allowed to use an axe on Yontif. Tana Rabbi Yishim ben Kippur b'shem, mishomer mishum elezer ben Shemua, b'shamay osurim b'sil matir, and machlokas b'sil is matir. So our Mishnah begins with b'shamay. Rabbi Magol, you're not allowed to use a scythe. East Tani Tani, there are those who learn mevakim, you can't use a scythe. V'east Tani Tani, those who said, ain't mevakim, you can't use a scythe. Amar Rav Chistor said, Mando Amar Mevakim says you can't use a scythe. Mevakim Shoyot, it's a small scythe, a hand sickle, you know. Mando Amar Mevakim says you can't. But Mevakim Shoyot, it's talking about a large sickle, the one you use in order to harvest your grain, which is much larger, and that's much more uvda d'chol. Istani Tani, a similar Gemara where we have contradiction prices and we reconcile them. Istani Tani, Mephaspasin, it should be Beklokim, the Gilian Ephraim says. Now, everybody, the Gilian Ephraim brings down the Korban Edom, but Moshe says they're both wrong, so I'm not going to tell you what they say. But he said, what he says is, it means he and the Radal here say something similar, say it means comb your hair. Mephaspasin means comb, Klokim means, according to Radal, sweaty hair which is sticking together. So klokim means hair, which is messed up in some way, shape, or form. So istani tani, one says you can, one says ein fasin, not allowed to. On Rav Chisa, mandam ar fasin, who says you're allowed to comb? Bibori, it's talking about where one has strong hair, so it won't be pulled out by the comb. Mandam ar ein fasin, not allowed to comb here on Yontif or Shabbos. Bitosh, it's with weak hair, where the hair will be pulled out by a comb.
Isn't that the fasin, they talk about combing hair, isn't that with a sin, not a sabah?
Why would... This is with the sin. Oh, with the samach. No, it's with the samach, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, they're interchangeable, so that would be no raya. But the word does appear by nazir, mefasim. Nazir is... Alright. Istani tani, another one. Marli matze besamim. You're allowed to rub besamim wood in order to get a fragrance. Istani tani, emoli, those say you can't. Manama molinu says you can do it. Balachim, it's by moist besamim, where it's not going to crumble. Madamar emolim, you're not allowed to do it. Beavashim, it's by dry besamim, because it's like grinding it, because it flakes. Right? Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch is matir both. I don't know, I guess the Shulchan Aruch just ignored the Yerushalmi. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to roll any besamims on Yotif. Yisrael, I tell you, those who are matir and sachayra begachelas. One is allowed to sweeten mustard seed with a coal. Yisrael, I tell you, and matir, there are those who say that you cannot. So, Mandamar Mimatkin Hill says you can is Bishnoso Gabi Chelos is where you put the mustard seed on the coal. And for some reason that does not put out the coal. Excuse me, it doesn't extinguish the coal. Mandamar Amimaskin Hill says you cannot sweeten it. It's Bishnoso Gabi Chelos where you put the coal on it, and for some reason that puts out the coal. Now, I don't know exactly the physics of it. You know, I would say the opposite. If you put the mustard on it, it would put it out. If you put the coal on it, it wouldn't. But it's not up to me. I look for a change of gear soul. So nobody changes the gear soul here. So somehow I know that's the difference. Now, the interesting thing is the Gilui Nashas and the Yerushalmi Mavur both bring down the Bavli and the Yerushalmi have a basic machlokas here. The Bavli draws the distinction between wooden coals and metal coals, in other words, smoldering metal. Hot wooden coals is an Isser Mechabe, metal coals is no Isser Mechabe. So therefore, you can you can sweeten the mustard seed on metal coals, not on wooden coals. But the Yushami doesn't mean as a distinction, because Yushami holds that there's an Iser Kibui by metal coals the same way there's an Iser Kibui by wooden coals. So it just brings down a distinction whether you put the mustard on top or on bottom. Okay, istani tani, those who learn, shoving is like this, we're allowed to rub silver, bikartikin, which is a silver polish. Istani tani, there those who ain't shoving, not allowed to. Manama shoving, you said you're allowed to, is bishinosimir, if you want to, you put a polish, as the Cormier says, in water, you dilute in water before you want to, and you just dip your silver into it. So you don't actually rub it directly. And by the way, ancient Shnosiyotiv is where you put the actual silver polish on the silver and then rub, which is memachik, the Isser Doraisa of actually working something, because you're working the tarnish out of the silver, so that's forbidden. Okay? Ramei Omer Afu, sorry, Istani Tani, ain't shoving. Those who said that. Oh, that's what I just read. Sorry. Ramera mer afu pogis bin chila v'noito. Now, this is talking about getting back to our Mishnah. Ramera says you're allowed to break open the house and take the stuff inside it. Rabbi Boa and Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rav Shmuel said, uvad k'neged ha-pesach. Now, according to Kormeida, it means you're only allowed to break into the house where the door was, where the opening was, not anywhere else. Because I guess that's less of... less of a soser, but the other mepharshim learn. In fact, the Yerushalmi Vor brings a girsa that's keneged apchas, that it means that you're only allowed to take the fruit which is directly opposite where you opened up the building, not anywhere on the sides. You're sticking your hand straight ahead, but not turn to the sides. Now I don't know why it should be a difference, but that's how they learn it. Now it sounds like the rest of the Gemara like the Korban Eda. It says the Gemara. Vatani, this is a brisa which is a proof. This is not a question, it's a proof. Because some of when you have seals in the ground, that you're allowed to loosen them, umafkiim, and you're allowed to undo them, umatirin, and mafkiim means to loosen, undo the strands. Umatirin, to undo the knot. And you can cut. That's all on Yontif. However, b'Shabbos, mifak b'kin, you're only allowed to loosen a seal. Avelom avkin, but you're not allowed actually to cut it. To loosen the strands. Velom atirin, nor are you allowed to undo the knot. Velom chotchim, nor are you allowed to cut. Ubekelim, if however all these things are surrounding a vessel as opposed to a doorway, something which is mechuber l'karka, b'Shabbos mutter. Then it's mutar on Shabbos, and certainly mutar on Yontif because there's no steer of a kelim. But in any event, here we're talking about doing things, obviously, the way Korban Eda explains it, these are things opposite the door, right? The ropes and the locks, all these things are opposite the door. And it's Chachamim say, so you're allowed to do certain things with these things on Yontif. So it sounds like, the Korban Eda explains, sounds like the Machlov Ramey and Rabbanan are talking specifically about the doorway. How you're allowed access to the doorway, but not that you go anywhere else in this house and open up a new path. And again, I'm not sure exactly why there should be a difference, right? Once you're being sozer, anyway, I guess all I could say is it's a rabbanan, so it's less of a marisayin if there was once a door there to remove the bricks, as opposed to if there was no door there before.
In Jewish ethics, doing an autopsy.
Yeah.
I've heard, I don't know if everyone agrees, but if there's been an operation site, so you can go in through the previous incision to get out whatever.
It's less of a Beasley mace, so here it's less of a Beasley Yontif. Could be, it's an interesting parallel. It'll give you an A+ for creativity. Mm-hmm. Might even be have some validity to it, so, square. Okay? Ain't Bechsa Misaner, definitely is a good hyper connection for Yerushalmi. Ain't Bechsa Ner was now out to, they used to make their Ner here is not the candle itself, but rather the container which holds oil. So Bechsa Misaner means you have a bar of clay. So Bechsa means to pound a hole in it to make a container to hold oil out of the clay, right? So you can't do that. because you're making a keli. Ve'enosim pochmin was now to make coal on yotzev. It's also considered to be a melacha. Ve'encholden spilushlein was now to cut a wick into two. You can cut it by, if you have the long wick, cut it in the middle by lighting the fire there, and then it splits into two on itself and becomes two candles instead of one.
Now, making the clay, that's still temporary, though. It's kind of permanent until you burn it in the oven.
I don't disagree. All these are the rabbanans here. We're not talking about the rices. If he actually was the rices, it would be pashiros. All these are the rabbanans. Okay, Tani. All Masech the Beitzos, the Rabbanans, essentially. Tani, Lufasim Sesumos. This is interesting, Aloha. If you have a closed jug, now this closed jug or closed pot is kind of a pot, earthenware pottery. And somehow you made it in a way that the top adheres to the bottom. And when you want to use it, for the first time, you crack it open and the top comes off the bottom. So before you use it, looks like a big ball, right? But it's made obviously with an indentation or something around there.
A bent tube or something.
Well, it's like a tissue box, you know, which is closed, and then you rip open the top in order to make it open. So here too, you had it was two pieces, but they were I don't know, perforated, but the top was meant to break off at some point. I don't know what I can give you a description of. You know, this might not be meaningful to you at all, but in recent years they've been selling pre-filled Hanukkah candles. And the pre-filled Hanukkah candles, they're glass, and you break off the top in order. So this is the same idea. You have something which is one unit, and the top is meant to be broken off. And the top actually here will become the lid, in this case, of the pot. That's just when they made it in the kiln, it was more convenient to do it all in one piece. But the soda bottle, you don't break it off. You unscrew the tab. Yeah, but there was one piece. It was one piece, and then you took it off, take it off afterwards. So the thing is, aslami er b'yantif, you made before yantif, lo yichasem b'yantif, you cannot open it up, crack it open on yantif, neshu k'machshuk l'b'yantif, because you're like making a keli yantif. It's makar b'patish, right? So it's now, the braisa goes on to say, Roshim Gamliel's matir. Okay? And that's important, because it'll come up in a minute. Tamatina, we learned over there, Lefosim aronios is a similar idea. It's a type of pot which you use closed, and then you open up when you want to cook. Shein toros bolames. So they use it. The Karmel brings down when it's still closed. They use it like a plate, and then when they open up, so I guess they use it either to cook or for storage. So even when it's closed, it still has a use. So the Yerushalmi says, the Braisa says, that, or the Mishnah actually, it says, L'fosim aron ha'shem tohoros bo ha'mace, if you put one in the oil of the mace, whatever's inside it is tar, right, because it's a tzamid posel, it's a sealed kli cheres. No greater seal than the fact that it's still one piece, right? So therefore, anything inside it remains tar, right? But if a zov carries and they come tame, why? Because they're already considered to be kalim. Because again, as we said, some people use them actually to eat off his plates right now, so therefore they're already makabel tuma. Says the Gemara, it's also not matame if a zov carries it. Because they're not fully complete yet. Why they're not fully complete? Because again, they have to be broken open. Asu the chidodach. Now the Yerushalmi makes a comment. Asu the chidodach. The Tosefta by us, meaning the first Tosefta you brought down the Gemara, it said Roshim Gamliel's matir to open the lefasim astumos on yontif. So we obviously hold that they're already considered to be a keli. It's not makabe patish when you open it up, right? So that single solitary individual opinion by us. That's called Yechida, is Kistam et Amon, is like the Stam Mishnah, meaning the Rabbanan, over there in Eduyos, because there it said that Rabbanan are the ones who hold it's already a Keli, and it's Metame B'Maso Azov. Whereas the Yechidah, the Taman, the opinion of a single Tana there, Blazer Tzok, is that they're not mitami masa azov yet, because they're not considered to be kelim yet until they've been cracked open, because Tumi Lacha is like the Rabbanim by us, because the Rabbanim by us are the ones who said that you're not allowed to open the keli on Yontif, because it's Makir Patish, because not considered to be a full keli until you open it. So it's just a comment that Yerushalmi makes, that that which is a solitary Tana over here is the opinion of the Rabbanim over there, and that which is a solitary Tana over there is the opinion of the Rabbanim over here. No, it's on, so there's those who hold that it's, it is a keli, even though it's not yet cracked open, and those who hold it's not a keli until it's fully cracked open. Okay? Rabbi Barbashim Rav Yudah said, Bakas, if you have a piece of wood which is got caught fire and you want to save the piece of wood, so of course you're not allowed to extinguish the fire directly in Yotif, some of the coastal so you put the wood next to a wall, Bishvil Shalot to Kaske say, so it won't get burnt anymore. Why is that? Because obviously you're cutting off oxygen from it by putting it there and not to extinguish it directly. That's okay. It's like a grama. Tani, we learned, Ein Mechabi Nesabakas, one is not allowed to extinguish a smoking piece of wood, Bishvil Lachusalev, in order to save the piece of wood. However, in Bishvil Shalot Hashem Sabais, if it's in order that the house should not get smoky, Vesakter, or the pot should not get smoky or burn, Mutter allowed to extinguish the fire on Yotif, which is of course what we do, right? They're saying about to burn on your stove, so you're allowed to extinguish the fire underneath it, right? The kibbutz is Mutter if it's Lutzorach Ochol Nefesh, and not just Lutzorach Ochol Nefesh, but in order that the house shouldn't fall with smoke. Same idea. Amrei Echina, Echina said, B'she'en Shem, the next word is a typo, according to both the Mashbiach and the Gilead of Raim, it should be B'she'en Shem Ur, if there isn't a hot fire there. Yeshem Ur, if there's a hot fire there, Mashlicha L'Ur, you send, put it into hot fire, V'dayo, and that suffices. Why? Because it'll burn up quicker. In other words, it's not that you're allowed to extinguish per se, it's that sometimes extinguishing puts out the smoky flame, right? But if there's another way of putting out a smoky flame by not extinguishing, by putting it in your fire, so then you have to put it in your fire. Okay? Says more Amrei be Nasser Nasser Vyos. That's good, makes sense. Kenan Amrim, that well he's going back on the fact that you can put it out if it's smoking. Kenan Amrim, just like we said, Hada Kilu Raisa, eye ointment. Shori Meshif Umichom Minabi Yamatov, you're allowed to apply on Yontif. So why are you allowed to apply? It must be because something which is for your own personal needs, even though it's not really food, it's permitted to do, and the eye ointment is of that nature. So too, if you have a smoky piece of wood in the house, even though it's not food, you're allowed to put it out for your own personal comfort. Okay?
Except it's a truth, isn't it?
So it says the Gemara again. Can't remember other clear right. So there's ointment. Try Mishum Michol Mina Biyom Tova. Our mother said no. It's no comparison. Kam Lishima, Kam Lerfua. One is to now. Everybody gives different interpretations on this line. Some say that means that it's more mistaba to be matir the eye ointment because it's a refua, as opposed to the smoky wood. It's discomfort. Tough it out. Right. Some say the exact opposite. It's more mistaber to be matir the smoky wood because it's not a refuah, right? So it's no shchika samemoni mishu. But by something which is a refuah, we can't be matir because there's you're going to come to grind the herbs for medicine, and
you're going to need both. If you have smoky right. Air, you're going to need
that. That's true. And some say that it's not a not a distinction, but rather clarification. Each one is mutter for a different reason. One is mutter because it's preservative. The other is mutter because it's for your own healing, which is mutter, of course, when it comes to the eyes. There's yet one other interpretation. Oh, that's enough. All right. So the next one doesn't make much sense, so I'll leave it out. Shoshavar Nerub Silal Lachmer. The three things stated about wicks to be Machmer. Shoshak and three about wicks to be Mako. Elu Shoshashar Mulachmer. What are three not allowed to do? Eno Simo Sabbat Chibi Yotif. Not allowed to start making wick from scratch on Yotif. Vein Chaymasal Shnaim. Not allowed to cut it in two. Vein Fasin Sabbui. Not allowed to singe it with fire so it should take later on better. Elu Shoshashar Mulachmer. The three things they are Mako by wicks. You're allowed to crush it in your hand, I guess, to make it more pliable, because that's considered to be like kalachayat, like with a shinui. You could soak it in oil, or you can divide it by the can by fire, which they narrow into two candles. Says more, but you got to need both of them. It can't be a ruse. Tani ber Rabbi Yehuda ber Pazi, the Vardalia said, maybe she nears in fact you bring two candle bases, the nose number shame, you put the two wicks from when two of them, the chokapur shenes you buy in the middle with the two candles. Rabbi Yaakov Achinam Shame Bar Idi Bashem Rav said, Mokhtin Sapsil beyond the Vado, you're not allowed to singe the psila, the wick, you're allowed to in fact take off the ashes by Mokhtin means making a needle straight. Sometimes that's to your advantage. So that you're allowed to do on Yontif, that's not going to be Makav Patish or any such thing, and therefore it's Mutter. Okay. Ancient is a Cheres Vein Cholim is a Nir Lisus Bo Maliach. Nowadays they sell, for some people, grilled fish. They sell this special mesh, wire mesh, to put your salmon on your barbecue, right? Yeah. In order to grill it.
It's like a
pancake thing. Okay,
it's
I'm there.
Both sides,
yeah.
So you can turn it over.
It's just easier to flip over.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it might flake and fall into the fire.
Oh,
because fish flakes. So in the old days they weren't so sophisticated. What they would do is they would break a piece of pottery or take a piece of paper and put the fish in that and put it in the oven. So it wouldn't fall apart on the roasting. I don't know why the fire didn't. They didn't have tin foil.
That would hold it.
Yes, but they had paper.
They oiled it. They had dates.
They had no chocolate, no coffee, no tin foil. We don't know how it is. on one of the kids' tapes, the kid says the grandfather is telling the kid about Prague, right? So he says, what did they have in Prague? So he said, they have pizza stores in Prague. So he said, no pizza stores in Prague. They have ice cream stores in Prague. So he said, no, they had no ice cream stores in Prague. They had butcher stores. So the little kid says, oh, Zadie, how the Eden suffered. Ancient Mizachers, one cannot break pottery. Vein Chaychias and here cannot cut paper. Litzus Bo Maliach in order to roast roast fish. Maliach is, salted fish. And Gorfin Tanav Kirayim. One also is not allowed to clean out the inside of a oven, from ashes. You're not allowed to clean it out. It's like Misakin Mona to clean it out. You're allowed to tamp down the ashes. You're not allowed to put together, this is a very unknown halacha, you're not allowed to put together two barrels in order to put a pot on top of them. It's like boina. To take two things and put a pot on top is like boina. Right, if you leave a space underneath, of course, a tefach. But you're talking, all you have to do is amazing halacha.
Well, because you're creating something new.
It's like an oel. But even you did on your tabletop. Even on a tabletop, right? It's awesome. Ain't so much a kedera b'bakas. As a result of that, one is also not allowed to support a kedera with a piece of wood. And this is Pnei Moshe says here, different halacha, because wood is only given over. Interesting, Pnei Moshe says wood is only given over for heating and other purposes, and for any other purpose, wood is mukta. So if you can't use a piece of wood. Of course, unless it was designated to be a keli, right? But you can't use a piece of wood just to support your pot. The chena delis, so you're not allowed to use the door for that purpose. A manigan is a bein baka makel, you're not allowed to lead an animal with a stick. Beyond the maniyot of Rabbi Elazar Rishim Mati, Elazar Rishim permits this. Hada amara hadein sikura. Now, the main interpretations of this line, the Rushami Amavur and the Amudi Yushalayim say, you're not, as a result of our Mishnah, you're not allowed to stitch together a bird. So you want to stuff a bird, a turkey? They didn't have turkeys, but you want to stuff a bird? You're not allowed to stitch it. Why? Because you might cut the thread. Now, not the thread with which you make the stitches. It took me a minute to realize that. That's okay. There's no reason not to cut that, right? It's like any other cutting for the purpose of food. It means when you're sewing it, you're going to cut the thread off the spool. That cutting is forbidden, right? You cannot cut the thread in segments in order to make stitch. So that's what it means. Just like you're not allowed to cut the paper or cut the pottery in order to cook, so too you're not allowed to cut the thread in order to stitch your turkey, right? It should be menume, you're cutting the threads. Now, getting back to the next issue of Mishnah about clearing the oven. Baited Rabbi Chiya Rabba, the daughter of Rabbi Chiya the Great, Asas Mefa Kotanur, she wanted to come bake in an oven. Ashkecha Kippa Begavah, so she found a mound of ashes in it. Asashesli Leavis, so she came to ask her father, can I take it out? Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya, her father, actually tested her. He said, he's in Garfin, go wipe it out, or go take out the ashes. Amra. So she said to her father, Lina Yochla, I can't do it. Amar lo, so Rabbi Chiya said, you're right, you can't do it. Isn't kafshin, go tamp it down, that you're allowed to do. Yadas havas. And Rabbi Chiya's daughter knew the halacha. El Davis boy Mishma Minavu, she wanted to hear it from her father. It's an amazing concept. She wanted the Mesecha, right? Okay? Rav Amar Metzilimin and Minatano Lakira. Rav says, you're allowed to take from the Tanur into Akira. Now, there are various interpretations of this Gemara as well. The Yushami of War learns like the Korban Edah, and I like the Korban Edah too. You're allowed to take a piece of wood from a Tanur, a burning piece of wood, and put in Akira. Because Akira is hotter than a Tanur, so it's actually making a hotter fire. I have a Lomi Kira Tanur, but not from Akira to a Tanur, because Akira is a hotter fire and a Tanur is a lower fire. Kira has a place for one pot, and Tanur is a place for two pots, right? And a place for one pot is hotter because it's smaller, more restricted, right? So you're not allowed to take from a Tanur to a Kira of Lomi Kira Tanur because that's like extinguishing. Rav Hava Brachana Amar Metzilim Mitanur Kira Mekila Tanur. You're allowed to do either one because the mice is burning anywhere, right? Burns more, burns less, it's burning. Avalomi Avitzu Shachas by now. So I guess it means that you're going to make sure it burns more slowly, so you'll still have it in the morning. So now I'll take it out of the oven where it's going to burn up quicker. Some put it somewhere it's going to burn slower in order to have it in the morning because that's like extinguishing. Says Yushalmi again. Rabbi Avun Bishem Rav said Matzim Mitanu Kira Mekila Tanur, go back and forth different types of ovens. And me have a shakra, so you can make it burn slower so you can have it in the morning. Avalomi Yotzef L'chol, but obviously not for Yotzef the weekday because that's Achoner for the weekday. Emakim Shtei Kavil Chavil Tishbos Leim. It's okay, I can't put two jugs together in order to put a pot on top of them. Shum Boina because it's Boina. Tani, we learned loyeti suma maklo v'lo roe v'tarmilo. A blind man should not go with a stick, nor a shepherd with his knapsack. Rabbi Shimon Mati, Rabbi Shimon allows this. Now, some people actually change the gears to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. But in any event, it's Rabbi Lezer, Shimon, our Mishnah allowed you to take out a stick, and Rabbi Shimon is allowing you to take out a stick. So it's either Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, or it's his father, Rabbi Shimon, and he held like his father. And so to Rabbi Shimon said, once you're allowed to take out the stick, you're allowed also to push your animal with the stick, which is in fact what Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon allowed in our Mishnah. Are any of you planning a davening next door? What? No, we'll just go a couple minutes late, then we can finish the parak. Okay? Rabbi Lezomer, night al Adam. Don't you have a minion at Yishurim? Don't you go to Yishurim Thursday nights?
Yeah, but then I go after 11
times. I don't want to do that. Okay.
That's all right. I have to wait
for
him.
Right.
We'll go to
10:15. Rabbi Lezomer, night al Adam, kisam lachtus boshinov. A person... Oh, you can go to 10 o'clock in Minyan Eichelstein, so aren't you? Are you going to Yishurim?
Yeah.
There's a 10 o'clock meeting, though, also at Eichelstein.
Yeah, but I mark color.
Oh, you can't do that.
I already have every minute.
All right.
Plan.
Okay. Well, let's just finish the parak, then I'll let you go. Rav Lezer Menotel Adam Kisam Lachtus Boshinov. Rav Lezer says a person could take a toothpick to... to clean out his teeth. And he can take wood from the chotzer anywhere in his courtyard and light that. Anything which is in the courtyard is considered prepared. You can only take from in front of you. Now, sounds in front of you to me, it sounds like what's the difference in front of you and the chotzer? So the Bavli actually says that in front of you means in your house. But Yerushalmi doesn't hold that way. Yerushalmi holds in front of you is in your courtyard as well. So therefore, as Yerushalmi, Mabe name, what's the difference between the Chachon, Rabbi Yudu says, Rabbi Lezu says, that which is the Chachon, Chachon, say Lefonov. So Nafkimine is, Lasos Tzibur Beineyem. Can you make an interim pile? Adaita Rabbi Lezu, according to Rabbi Lezu, Oysa Tzibur. You can collect wood from all over your chotzer, put in a pile, and then put in your oven. You have to put it directly into your fire. Megabi Mishul Fun of their learning means you collect it and immediately put in your fire, right? Mishul Fun of literally means from in front of you, but it means you have to take it from the chotzer and immediately put in the fire as opposed to stopping to put it into a pile. Because if you collect from all over, that's not lefonav anymore. Lefonav means you take whatever wood is there and put it in the fire. But if you're going to take wood and collect it, right? So by there, the whole concept of lefonav is lost. Lefonav means there's a direct link between collecting and fire. If you make an interim step, it's no longer direct. So therefore, Rabbanan, this machlokas, whether you have to make an interim pile of wood when you're collecting or not. Emotinus or one is not allowed to create fire on Yontif, right? Lomino Atium, not from wood, by rubbing wood. Lomavarium, not by rubbing stones. Lomavarium, not by using a magnifying glass. They didn't have lenses, right? But they used to put water into a bottle, and that used to magnify the sun. And that used to start a fire.
Is that how you
know? Yeah. Vemlamni Mesarafim, one is not allowed to heat up bricks. These are bricks of Litzosim, which you used to roast on them. Like lava rocks, you know, in barbecues. Rabbi Lezer also, I made other mukta erev Shabbos. If a person can stand on his mukta, where he has drying dates or figs or whatever he has, erev Shabbos at Shemitah, because there's no meiser necessary. But I mean, it says, Mikani yoechle mocher, I'm going to eat from here tomorrow. All he needs is verbal declaration. Chachomrim at Shiyirshom, he has to actually make markings. Vorim Mikan at Khan from year to year. Those who says you can whiten them, in other words, make them white hot. Those who says you can't make them white hot. He says you can make them white hot. Bivdukim, they've already checked me, they've already been used once before. Where they weren't checked, meaning they weren't used once before. So now is when they're hardened and made more usable and durable. So that's why it's like makabe patish, and that's forbidden. The thing that we learned in the first parak, you can't take doves from a dovecot unless you did a maaser to the doves. You shook the dovecot from before Yontif began. And the note, Rabbi Lezer Lav Shamuti, who wasn't Rabbi Lezer from the Beis Medrash of Beis Shammai? So how come here he doesn't require a physical act like marking, like Rabbanan do? Or he requires his verbal declaration. You know what? It's different. Since there was something which is alive, needs more of a marking or more of an act, and that's why you have to shake the dovecot. Now, similarly, is a kashan chachamim. Chachamim, adshushim, you need a maisa. You need a maisa to mark. And also say from here to there. Mechavishi tasa rabbanon, it's kash rabbanon. Did see it? The one we learned over there. Besomrim, I made oedam v'aymer b'zev zayin noitel. Oin is a verbal declaration by the doves. V'achinun armina chen. And here they say you actually need a mark. And further, Odi nun islon chomer davishish buruchaim. Can you say it's for them as well that there's something more chomer about something which is alive? It's not possible. Right, because then so it should be the exact opposite. It should be more machmir, something which is alive, than by this. And here we see the more machmir by this. So Tosis and Beitzel gives an answer to this. He says that muktzah is different because muktzah is different because it's worse. Because doves, you don't set aside but it consciously. But something in a muksa which is drying, you consciously set aside until such time as it's fully dry. So that's why here actually the Rabbanim require more of a tikkun, more of a hachana, to actually make a marking than they do by doves. Because the doves, they're never dachi b'adayim, you never push them aside. So therefore they need less of a hachana, as opposed to the muksa, where you actually put set aside the figs and the grapes and consciously gave up on eating them until they dry. So you need more of a mites in order to designate them, take them out of that techiya b'adayim. That's why you have to make a marking. Now, Amudei Yerushalayim actually tries to change the girsa in the Gemara here to make it fit with that distinction which Taisa brings down. But that is a pretty neat trick, which I failed to see how it works. So we will just leave that out.